When we gather as believers, whether we gather in a church building or in a living room, we can expect various degrees of order and disorder. We can expect a variety of activities, such as prayer, singing, the study of the Word, preaching, testimonies, and perhaps my favorite, eating a meal together. Some of these activities are very well planned out. For example, if you attend a megachurch, you usually find that everything that goes on there must be very professionally done and with each activity timed to the second. But in a small intimate gathering, such as a house church, there's a lot less structure. You may have only a few loosely planned activities where no one is paying much attention to the clock. So within this paradigm we call simple church, there are numerous opinions about how a small gathering should take place. There are those that strongly believe that when it comes to planning, less is more. After all, planning everything out leaves no room for the Holy Spirit to speak to us within a church meeting. So these folks may plan on things such as location and what time to start and what to eat. But within the meeting itself, there are no planned activities except to listen to each other and hopefully hear from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes this works, and sometimes this is a mess, which doesn't really serve to build up the body of Christ. The other extreme that I've observed within simple church is the idea that just as in any other organized church service, everything must be planned and perhaps even scripted. There is a timetable that must be adhered to. Worship songs are pre-planned. There's a planned Bible study. There may even be a lecture-type sermon with no interaction from the audience. And here's the thing. Both approaches have their merits. Neither is all good nor all bad. One method does not fit all.
Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Hey, welcome to Keep It Simple podcast. I'm Gavin Durson. I'm here with Tom LeCompte. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy 2017 to you.
Yep, we're into it now. I feel like
we're
New
well
Year's
into
was a ways ago, but today we want to jump right into it, and we're going to tackle a topic today that I just, gosh, it's something that, honestly, it's probably, for anyone out there doing house church, simple church kinds of things, I think it's an issue that probably is one of the more challenging issues, and it's something that maybe every week you wrestle with to some degree, and it's sort of the issue you put, how'd you put it, Tom? Spontaneity.
Spontaneity in your worship service, when you come together.
And first of all, I am vehemently opposed to calling house church meetings a worship service.
Okay.
So I will never let
I will not do that again.
I went to somewhere the other day and we were sharing about this and they said, now when do you have your service? And I'm like, man, I've never once called it a service, but yeah. I understand. But
well, you have to speak church speak, you know.
Church speak.
If you're communicating these concepts to people, man, that have grown up in the
Christianese.
Church.
I'm trying to avoid Christianese, and I probably do it all the time on this podcast. That's why I don't ever listen to these.
You and I
podcasts.
Grew up going to worship services, so now, you know, we call it something else. But yeah, we're talking to somebody that, yeah, we have to call it a worship service, or they have to call it a worship service because that's all they know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read a scripture.
But you know better, Tom.
I know better. Yes. Our gathering. We call it a gathering. How's that?
Let's get in the Word.
All right, I'm going to read you a scripture from, this is a scripture that's been lifted and used by a lot of advocates of simple church, house church, organic church, and it's a good scripture, but the context...
As opposed to the other ones.
Yeah, all scripture is good. So, I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. They're having a lot of issues with what happens in the church service. You know, some of their church service, if you read this, it sounds like it gets kind of nutty. Everybody's like speaking in tongues and stepping on everybody, and there's not much order. So Paul's kind of correcting them, and he says, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. let all things be done for building up. So there's more, but it's a lot of detail. Let's just focus on that one thing. When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. So let me frame this a little better. If you spend some time on the internet looking at house church or reading what people say, there's a lot of advocacy for a spontaneous time of worshiping when you gather. By that I mean there's absolutely no plans made. There are, you know, not in the way you do the music, not in the way you study the Bible or anything like that. You just get together and you're trusting the Holy Spirit to cause people to speak up or whatever. And yeah, that does work, but I think people tend to maybe make that an extreme. If there's absolutely no planning, then where are you going? Are you just getting together, hoping the Holy Spirit's going to do something without you putting much effort into it? That's kind of where I'm framing this. Is all spontaneity good, not good, indifferent? Should there be a time where you gather a bunch of people together and say, let's read this book and study it for all it's worth? What do you think, Gavin?
This is an issue I wrestle with, and I think that it's like part of it's a difficult issue. If you're doing simple church, then you know that a lot of times you're always wrestling with, are we doing the things maybe that the Lord wants us to do? Is this, especially if you're coming out of a traditional church background, simple church can look so different, and you do something in your home, it's impossible to reproduce what you've been doing your whole life. And you can wrestle a lot of times with, like, did we do enough? Was this spiritual enough? Was this real church? Was it these things? And some of that is maybe legitimate. Some of that, or I would even say a lot of that, a lot of times is the enemy trying to discourage and cast doubt on your steps of faith to meeting in a more simple and organic type of way and discourage you to throw in the towel. But, you know, I think this question is... This is the way that I look at it. And, you know, I think, again, I step back and I say, what is the bigger goal? Last podcast, we talked about making disciples. And to me, that is what simple church is about. Simple church is a piece of the disciple making of us and our family, our church family. And so how does that happen? The tendency, and I probably tend to sound a little more spontaneous, an advocate for spontaneity, but that's not no planning, and I want to try to explain this, but I think the tendency is, what happens is, if you're coming out of a traditional church environment, is that we start meeting in a house, there is a leader who is the person maybe initiating the simple church, they're the more versed in Scripture, they're the one that's got the zeal, they're the one that maybe has they've studied the Bible more or whatever. And so the tendency can be very quickly to default to this person becoming kind of the answer man, kind of the one who says, hey, none of you all are seeming to share a lot, so why don't we do this Beth Moore Bible study, or why don't we go to this video series and let's plan out the next 6 months, and that way we know every week what will happen when we come, we can know what to expect, and we can all come here and essentially be fed God's word. And that might be a good idea. I have done that before in our simple church. There have been seasons where we have said, these next 3 weeks, this next month, this next 2 months, why don't we do ABC, watch this video, listen to this talk, discuss it, chew on it. But here is my main concern when it comes to simple church. And I don't think, when I talk about like an open meeting, is sometimes what people talk about, I'm not talking about, or when a spontaneous, more form of spontaneous meeting, I'm not talking about maybe the way you prepared it. My preference, this is a preference, but I think it is scriptural. I think what the passage you read, it's not that people, to me, it's not we're saying, hey, when I say, hey, you can be more free or open in what you happen. You don't have to schedule everything. It's not just people, and I think this happens. People show up and they say, oh gosh, it's Sunday morning, we've got simple church. Well, oh man, well, let's get over there. We get the kids in the car. We go there. We get the food. And we sit down. I'm like, all right, what's been going on? Does anyone have something to share? And then it's in that moment, somebody's like, oh, man, let me see if I can think of something. Golly, man, my mind's been going crazy, you know. And then it's like, oh, hey, I love, man, I would like to read John 3:16. Oh, well, great, you know. It's the only, you know. And so what that is, that's not good. Like, what I'm trying to advocate is that a lifestyle where people are being in disciple-making relationships all week long. All week long, on Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, the thought is, Lord, what is it that you're teaching me? There's a daily preparation, a daily time in the Word, witnessing, sharing your faith, praying for people at the workplace, to where all week long, the question you're thinking is, and maybe it's not all week long, but certainly before you get together with your believers, it is a sense of, Lord, you have done so many wonderful things this week. You have taught me some things. I saw you at work. I witnessed you do a great thing. Which of these things? I cannot, there's 20 of us in this simple church, or 10 of us, I can't share with everyone everything you've done this week, because we'll be here all day. You know, no one else would have time to share what you've done. But what have you taught me? What scriptures have you illuminated as I've been involved in my life transformation group, or my, you know, studies with my friends as we've been learning to self-feed on the Word? Which of these teachings, which of these things am I to bring to the group? Now, if people are doing that, I think you can, that's not going to happen on day one, but if people are learning to do that and live their life that way and think of church as that, as a place where they're prayerfully coming with a teaching, with a song, with a word of instruction, something that they have, that the Lord has downloaded into them during the course of the week with their brothers and sisters in mind, that more spontaneous thing, I think, can happen. And it can be a very beautiful thing where you don't have to have a formula. The challenge is that most people don't have a simple church full of people doing that. And the tension then becomes, at what point do you come up with some sort of more packaged preparation for your time that could inadvertently, and like in a traditional church, condition people to think, oh, I can just come to this simple church and Gavin will have the lesson for me prepared and he'll teach me and I'll come here and get fed. At what point, you know, or how far are we willing to go to try to create the culture of self-feeding and teaching one another and really learning to interact that way? Because it is something you have to learn to do.
Right. Oh, let me think how to address any of those questions.
I gave a lot of it there.
yeah.
And again, I think let me just say this before we go. It's a process, like, you know, yeah. And I don't think there's a right or wrong way. And if you need to have a form more of a less spontaneous, simple church meeting to get started, do it. Do it. You know, I think you trust the Lord. And people are different. People have different preferences. My suspicion would be if you got a simple church full of primarily artistic folks versus engineers, then it's going to look a little different, and sure, they might want to go different ways with that.
Yeah. I think this verse gives room for both. It gives room for spontaneity and also gives room for a little bit of deliberate planning or a little bit of deliberate execution where they don't have to clash. And like you said, some people will prefer the loosey-goosey spontaneity. I don't want to make plans. I just want to trust the Holy Spirit, which is fine if that's what you're doing and not
just
being
lazy. But just, yes, and I don't want to be clear about that, because I'm not advocating loosey-goosey. I'm not sure what that exactly means, but I am advocating just trust the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But I think I am advocating preparation. I am advocating preparation, but among every member of the simple church.
Right, yeah. Loosey-goosey would be like, I have no plan. I think it's wrong to make plans. I think it's totally right to just show up and see what the Holy Spirit's going to do.
Yeah.
Some people believe that. I'm like your engineer that likes to have a little bit of planning, a little bit of structure. This verse, I think, gives room for both. When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. There's a lot there that you can do on the fly if you're good, or you can do on the fly. You know, if the Holy Spirit is working within you, you can do it on the fly.
Good. I wouldn't say good. I mean, but I hear what you're saying. I mean, I think there is room. I think some of this is preference. Again, the bigger question is, are we making disciples, and are we creating environments and space for people to grow in their faith?
And here's the key, the last part of the verse, let all things be done for building up. So, you know, you can show up with no preparation, or you can show up and say, I studied the book of Job this week, and here are a few highlights of what really struck me. Can I share them with you?
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Yeah. Or here's one thing. Here's an example. Okay, we get our gathering together, and the people who do the music, play the guitars or whatever, they kind of have in their mind a few of the songs they want to do, and they'll lead with those. And then they're like, well, what song do you want to – do we have any requests? Well, then people are thumbing through the little songbook and saying, hey, can we do number 13? Well, to me, we're singing our favorite songs, but is that worship? Because if we're stopping and we're saying, oh, I don't know number 13, or can we do that in this key and not that key, and you spend 2 minutes between songs sorting all that out,
yeah,
that kind of breaks the flow of worship. I don't know. Yeah. So yeah. Is spontaneity good? Is spontaneity hindering worship? I don't know.
Well, and again, like, we don't have a song every week in our simple church. I mean, there are some weeks we do and some weeks that we don't. But I think again, it's maybe more preference. Some of these things are just preference. Right or wrong. There's, again, I think, are we making disciples who can make other disciples? Are we seeing people coming into the kingdom and then maturing and able to go out and start their own spiritual families? These are the big questions. I think what we do when we get together, I'm always thinking, man, like, I just want to make sure we're modeling a way of Christian gathering that other people truly believe they can do.
Right.
If I'm the best guitar player and I've got a great voice and I come every week and I lead songs for everyone, then I'm teaching other people. If I ever start a house church, we'll have to find someone that can play guitar really well and has a great voice. I want people to share those gifts when they have them and when they feel inspired, but I don't want to expect that from them every week, because that can create a sense of a dependency that, well, if we do music, they're going to do it. You know, I want everyone to come. If someone has a song, like, bring it. And if you can't sing it that great, that's fine. Invite other people to sing it. But it means so much more if it's like, I've thought about this. Like, right. I really want...
That's it.
Yeah, I've thought about this. You know, last podcast we shared the song Too Good by Jess Ray at the end. That was brought by a woman in our simple church. And she heard it. She told the story about it. She said, this is crazy, but I've never clicked on a Facebook ad, but this thing popped up and I listened to it. I don't even know how it pinned up my feet. Man, this was powerful. It really meant a lot to me, and I want to share it with you all. And we didn't even know the words to sing it, but we listened to it, and it was worshipful, you know? And now people have been listening to it, you know, since then. I'm like, man, that is a really good song. I want to listen. And I'm sure that the worship now is continuing through that song, you know, every day, but for a lot of folks. But that's the kind of stuff, you know, again, and maybe it's an overreaction. I'm open to that criticism, but traditional church is so structured and so plain. I mean, we know that I visited a church I hadn't visited in many, many years a while back, and literally it was to the T, opening, songs, welcome, scripture reading, sermon, songs, offering, song.
And you could read it all in the bulletin.
I mean, and so it's so, you know, and I actually think that, you know, there could be something good, and not to do it because you're lazy or because you didn't plan it. But I'm not against, you know, there's been times like, hey, our plan is to get together and see what the Holy Spirit does. That could be your plan the Lord wants you to do. That's
not a bad plan.
And that's not saying that you're being careless. Now, you can use that as an excuse. Like anything, your freedom can become a stumbling block. And we don't want the freedom of simple church to become a stumbling block to those people that God has entrusted to our care, that are learning what it means to be a Christian. And that's a lot of it's going to be an issue between you and God. A few episodes back, you know, one thing, as I'm working through this issue, we just adopted a simple thing, and we haven't done this every week, but we've been trying to kind of implement some of the training from the Zume project that we've talked about, which, by the way, will be going live February 14th. So if you haven't gone to zumeproject.com, go there, enter your email, learn about it. I'm hopeful this is going to be a great help to a lot of you guys. But they're simple format, and there's more you can make it your own. But they talk about looking back, looking up, and looking forward as kind of a framework for what we do when we get together. We spend time looking back on the week. We spend time looking up to God for wisdom in His Word, teaching from the Word, worship. And then we spend some time looking forward. What does this week involve? What is God calling us to do to live this week? Praying about that. That's sort of, you can follow that rigidly or you can follow it loosely, but that's been a helpful little tool for me.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I don't think we solved any big debates here.
I feel like in these podcasts, when you bring your issue, because I think this is, you know, if you've listened to this podcast before, me and Tom, we're brothers, we love each other, and we committed to house church, but we're different. Like, more of that way, I'm okay, more loosey-goosey.
No,
you're more tidy-whitey.
I'm not...
Tidy-whitey. Oh, my. You're more tidy-whitey, I'm more loosey-goosey. And I feel like, you know... I can get you introduce a topic and then I just beat you over the head with a club. That's kind of what I feel like.
Well, I'm trying to beat you over the head with the same club and get you to see it my way. But no, basically this is a reaction of, you know, I troll the internet sites and I see a lot of abuse of this spontaneity.
No question. And I would say this, I know of several simple churches right now that they're not. They need a little more structure. And I'm not so sure if it's structure when they get together, if it is structure every other time of the week when they're not together.
It's a structure in their life.
Intentionality is what I like to use. Like, we don't want to just get together and try to figure it out then. Like, if we're growing as a community, we're intentional. Like, through the week, we're intentional with our relationship with God. There's intentionality happening.
Right.
And then when we get together, whether it's little or a lot of structure, there's freedom for the one another's to happen. And that can happen in a lot of different ways. And we'll probably talk about one another's next time. But I hear you. I really hear you. And I hope what I'm saying doesn't come across as like that.
Because I'm not aiming at this at you.
And I worry. I mean, this is a constant wrestling with me. Like, I want there to be this time and space when we get together. I mean, it's not the most important thing about Simple Church, but it ends up being a pretty important piece of the puzzle because of schedules and lives, and you only get so much time to meet with other believers, and I want to make the most of those opportunities.
Right.
So, and I definitely don't want us to be doing things that is reinforcing ideas that can't multiply and can't reproduce, and that we're modeling something that is not healthy in the greater picture of making disciples. You know, I want us to model everything that teaches, and not just what we're saying is teaching, but the way we're doing it, the way we're saying it, the way that we're getting together, that we're teaching Christians to live a life where they are led by the Holy Spirit. There is order, there is edification, mm-hmm. and there is, you know, leadership and people leading diligently, as the Scripture says. You know, that's a piece of this as well. Like, to lead diligently is not to not be intentional and to just show up and not have a plan or not have any sort of maybe thought. I mean, if this is that important, we want to be wrestling with the Lord all week about it and asking Him, what is it we're to do? What is it we're to say? What is it we're to teach? And sometimes He might say, for the next 6 months, do this, Bible study, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's a possibility. Like, that might look... But
And here's,
you know.
Here's another thing. If you're depending on this one meeting a week to get all these... in your Bible study, your lessons, your hymn, your thing, then you're going to be anemic. You know, this is if you're living the Christian life, this is a daily thing. You know, maybe you're not doing it with everyone gathered together every day, but every day you should be reading your Bible. You should be studying. You should be singing hymns or at least listening to hymns or choruses, whatever you want to call it. But this shouldn't be the only time you're exposed to these things.
So. Yeah, so good. Well, hey, shoot us your questions. What are your thoughts about it? What do you do when you're simple church gatherings? We'd love to just hear from that. When you get together, do you all have a formula you sort of tend to follow? Are you more loosey-goosey or are you more tidy-whitey? Let us know, and we'd love to hear. We would love to just maybe share some of those thoughts.
Can we say tidy-whitey?
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely.
In the scriptures, we see that the early believers had some structure, sometimes loose, and sometimes very specific and liturgical. But here are the things they had in common. Their meetings focused on Jesus. Their meetings worshiped God. And their meetings allowed time for the Holy Spirit to teach them through the scriptures or through other believers' testimonies. They prayed. They encouraged one another. They served one another. Here was their guideline. This is from Paul. He said that everything must be done so that the church may be built up. 1 Corinthians 14:26. And he also says, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Ephesians 4:12. I repeat, everything must be done so that the church may be built up, or so that the body of Christ may be built up. So if what we're doing in our gatherings doesn't accomplish the building up of the church, the body of Christ, then we need to change what we're doing. If rigid structure is interfering with the building up of the saints, then perhaps we need to loosen up and become more interactive. If our lack of structure is creating an unholy free-for-all that does nothing to build us up, then maybe we need to tighten up and plan for some intentional bodybuilding activities.
So, Tom, stuff that we like. What do you got for us this week?
Oh, gosh. I don't like anything. I like my new computer. This is a funny story. Gavin and I, you know, we get together in our recording studio, which is a conference room, and we record by plugging in our computers and everything and calling up what we're going to read and look at. And I pull out this, I just bought a new MacBook Pro because my old MacBook Pro died. God rest his soul. So I got a new one. I don't spend money on computers very often, you know, once every 7 years, but I got a nice MacBook Pro. It's a great computer. So I pull it out and Gavin says, hey, that's a cool looking computer. And he says, I got one too. So what's your story with your MacBook Pro?
Oh man, I don't necessarily like sharing it, but it's a cool thing. No, some folks showed up at my house Christmas Eve with a box and they were like, hey, we got you a gift. And
it's a cool story.
And I was like, what in the world is this? Because I had not even, I wasn't even thinking about getting a new computer. Mine was about 10 years old, but someone observed that and knew that I do a lot on my computer with the website, music, podcasting, all this. And they rallied some people together and they presented me this box, which I thought might have been a fruitcake, but it wasn't.
Some people would think a MacBook Pro is a fruitcake, but
yeah,
you're wrong.
It was
just
like
wrong.
Yours. So I opened it up; it was yours. It was an unbelievable blessing.
I love it.
And in all seriousness, it's amazing to me how God provides in random ways. Like,
right?
Neither one of us are getting rich doing Simple Church or Simple Church podcasting. But to be honest.
We're not making a dime doing this. Right? We've never made a dime doing this, and that's okay.
But I'm always grateful to how God provides. So I do like the new MacBook Pro.
It's awesome. I've been a Mac user for 25 years.
Yeah. And hey, stuff I like. I want to leave you guys. I got another song for you all. I was telling Tom we might need to work this one into our bumper music. This is a song that I don't think you can actually get anywhere. Maybe I'll figure out a way we can make it available because it's an older song. It was written by a friend of mine named John Hatfield. He does have some newer music online, iTunes, I think Spotify, John Hatfield Band. And yes, he is from Eastern Kentucky, and he is in the bloodline of the Hatfield family famous with Hatfield and McCoys. He's got a few songs about that out there.
That's amazing.
But this was a song he wrote many years ago. I don't think he'll ever know I'm sharing this podcast because I doubt he listens to it. But he'd probably be embarrassed that I would be sharing a song on his podcast that was from some of his earlier work. But this actually is one of my favorite songs of his. It's called Where Will I Go? It's actually on his album called Ache Like St. Paul. You might be able to find it out there somewhere online. I'm not sure. Maybe CD Baby or something like that. But we're going to leave you with that. It's a great song about walking away from the familiar into the unknown and trusting God and dealing with all the naysayers that may question you in your radical faith and obedience to God. That's what I get out of it, and I hope you enjoy it. Where Will I Go? John Hatfield. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Keep It Simple.
Enjoy the song. Enjoy the podcast.
Where will you
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.